In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you ever have a chemistry set? When I was growing up, you could buy a home chemistry kit for children. I got one for Christmas one year. It had chemicals and beakers and test tubes. The book came with it had all kinds of formulas for things you could make. Solutions that bubbled and mixtures that gave off smoke. One said you could make water into wine. Having heard about Jesus turning water into wine in Sunday school, the idea of doing that myself interests me. But the water really wasn't water. It was a chemical that looked like water. And the wine really wasn't wine. It was some reddish-purple liquid that sort of looked like wine. Couldn't drink it. It was poisonous. I was disappointed. There was a lot in those old chemistry sets that were dangerous, so they don't sell them anymore. Children doing unsupervised chemistry experiments with chemicals that could explode or be poisonous, what could possibly go wrong? I still find the water into wine miracle fascinating. You all know the story. I read that narrative of the wedding in Cana of Galilee at about half of the weddings I do. Jesus' first miracle says something to us about marriage and family. It also says something about Holy Communion. And especially, it says something about the character of Jesus Christ. It's significant that Jesus was invited to a wedding banquet. Jesus was the kind of person that people liked to have around. People wanted him at their parties. Just about everybody wanted to be Jesus' friend, and he was friendly with everyone, not only the successful, popular people, but also with the outcasts. It's easy to imagine Jesus enjoying good food and laughing and dancing. Christians often have the reputation of being boring or judgmental and just not a lot of fun to be around. Jesus wasn't that way, and we don't have to be either. You've probably seen those Jesus Gets Us commercials on TV. I probably mentioned them before. I'm kind of ambivalent about them. It's nice to see something positive being said about Jesus in the media when so much negative is said so often about him there. And it's true, Jesus does get us. He understands and sympathizes with our human nature. After all, he had a hand in creating us, and he lived among us as one of us, experiencing everything that we do. Jesus knows our pleasures and our pains, our joys and our sorrows. That's what his incarnation and nativity, his conception and birth, were all about. But not only does Jesus get us, he does something for us. Christ didn't associate with sinners to condone their sins. He didn't say, hey, all those sick, hurtful things that you're doing to yourselves and others, that's okay. Just keep doing it because I know how hard life is. No, he says, I'm here to bring you a better life, an abundant life, even eternal life that you just can't turn around and achieve on your own. I'm going to bring it to you by dying and rising again for you because I get you. Because I love you. Jesus gets us, and we get him and the benefit of his atoning sacrifice through faith. We'll say more about that later. Jesus' interaction with his mother at the wedding was also significant. It was Mary who pointed out to him that they had run out of wine. Much is made of the fact that when he spoke to her, he called her woman. That might sound like kind of a harsh rebuke to us. Wouldn't think of Jesus speaking to his own mother that way. It appears, though, that woman really was just the normal way that a son would refer to his mother in that time of place. There was no disrespect intended. I think I see something kind of playful in their interaction. Jesus sort of politely refuses her request, but knowing her son's character, Jesus tells the servant, "Do what he says." The answer to the musical question, "Mary, did you know?" is yes. Mary knew who Jesus was, the Son of God, from the very beginning. This part of the narrative shows that Jesus loved his mother and he loved his family. Jesus' family could not always understand him. Who can perfectly understand Jesus? And when have family members ever perfectly understood one another? It just doesn't happen. But Jesus obeyed the fourth commandment and honored his mother. Jesus and Mary's bond was such that she went to see her son, the convicted criminal, as he was crucified. Even in his agony on the cross, Jesus fulfilled the duty of a loving son and commended her into John the Apostle's care. Jesus' destiny was to love and care for the whole world, but he also loved and cared for his family. Loving and caring for one's family is a Christian virtue. Providing for and nurturing our families are the top responsibilities and blessing that Jesus gives us. You can be a hero in your own home simply by being a devoted parent, a faithful child, a helpful sibling, or whatever other role God has called you into. Love the family that God has given you. The situation that the wedding party family was facing was, of course, they had run out of wine. From what we know about the culture of the time, these wedding feasts could go on for days, and having much wine was expected. The couple was looking then at starting their new lives together under the cloud of a major faux pas. In the cosmic scheme of things, a banquet running out of wine is not the worst possible disaster. We've all seen worse, but it mattered to the people there. And if it mattered to them, then it mattered to Jesus. And if something matters to us, it matters to Jesus too, no matter how big or how small of an issue it is. God is omnipresent, omniscient, and all power. He is everywhere. He sees and knows everything, and he has the ability to make things happen. Everything is ultimately under his control. God has a plan for us, but he also gives us free will. So sometimes he allows things to happen that aren't exactly what he would want us to do. They're not exactly what he intends, but they don't interfere with his ultimate goal, so he permits those things to happen. He lets us learn from our mistakes and learn from his discipline. We trust that God will provide for us. We know he will. What God is doing for us, though, how he is supplying our needs, might not always be obvious to us, but he is. He sustains us, not always in the fashion we would like, but he gives us what's best for us in the long run, whether we realize it or not. Jesus provided the wine. He met the couple at their point of need, and all was well there, even better than before. However, in this case, the wine pointed to something greater even than its miraculous self. In John's gospel, Jesus performs a series of signs, miracles, that point to his true identity as the Messiah, as the Christ, as our Savior. Turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee was just the first of these signs. Now, think about the water. Water is ordinary. common, nothing special. The water in those particular stone jars was going to be specifically used for the Jewish rites of purification. We know how the law of Moses, God's law, which is good, called for certain things to be washed and to be made clean, to be made kosher, so that they would be fit for use by God's people. That was the antecedent of John the Baptist's baptism. It's no coincidence that Jesus takes something that's identified with the law, with the commandments to be clean and perfect that we can never fulfill, and transforms them into a symbol of God's grace. It's no coincidence that Jesus takes ordinary water and turns it into exquisite wine. He makes common things special. And Jesus makes ordinary people into extraordinary people too. I often remind couples getting married of that in the wedding sermon. I say, out of 8 billion people on earth, God has brought the two of you together to be unique and special to one another. And indeed, it is so. It is also true that God has made each and every one of us special and extraordinary. No matter what your relationships are, there is probably somebody out there that you mean the whole world to. You are their hero, and God did that. As we said last week when we celebrated the baptism of our Lord, God has washed us in water in the Word, cleansed us of our sins, and made us His forever. God loves you as if you were His only child. So be who you are. Be a son or daughter, a prince or princess, in God's kingdom. Not only that, but Jesus sustains us still with the sacrament of the altar, His very body and blood given in the forms of bread and what? Bread and wine. That's not a chemistry formula's fake wine. That's certainly not poison. That's the miracle of God's love and the elixir that gives eternal life. God will neither disappoint you nor fail to provide for you. And one more thing. What did it mean when the steward of the feast said that the best wine had been saved for last? It means that our bondage to the law is past, and now we live in God's grace. It means that the days of fear and sorrow are behind us, and we can live in God's comfort and joy. And it's all because of Cana's wedding guest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.